name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, here I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, that prayer, that final prayer, comes from volume 17, May 17, 1925. It's about the rounds where Luisa Picaretta explains the rounds to the confessors. Today we will go with, we will continue with the letters, Luisa's letters, and I believe today we are in 54.
Okay. To Mother Elisabetta, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Fiat, my good and reverend mother, I was about to send you my letter through your dear sister when I received yours, so pleasing to me. My mother, do not afflict yourself with what you feel in the depth of your soul. These are works that Jesus does in order to accomplish his great design. And to work, Jesus uses now the material of light, now of obscurity, now of isolation, in which you feel your soul feels lonely, and maybe even without the one whom you love and who loves you very much. But Jesus never leaves you. He hides, and in his hiding, the ardor of his love is so great that he gives you hidden kisses and tender hugs, but he gives them slowly and quietly so as not to be felt. However, he can't last too long with all this, and when you least expect it, he makes himself felt in the depth of the soul in order to sustain you and to enjoy his works. My mother, with Jesus it takes patience, faithfulness, and peace in order to let him proceed in the work of forming the kingdom of the divine fiat. He wants to be free, and he does not want us to be concerned with what we feel. So what can we do? This is the eclipse of the sun of the divine volition, which reaches the point of eclipsing Jesus with its shining rays. Therefore, you pray for me as I need it very much. I send the greeting of the fiat to your good sister Elisa, to my daughter, Sister Giacchina, and to the whole community. Lena wrote, saying that she is very happy. Please don't forget to pray for me, and with all my heart, I will do it for you. And leaving you on the way, in the unending light of the supreme fiat, where everything is peace, harmony, and fortitude, kissing your right hand, I say, your most devoted and affectionate servant, Luisa Picaretta, Corrado, January 28th, 1929. With a postscript, thank you for the rosaries. My sister Angela kisses your right hand and sends her heartfelt regards. Mother Superior of Oria asks for comfort. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. As we see that Luisa Picaretta in these letters, she gives spiritual advice to the people she is writing or she is talking to through the letters. One of the things that we see also is that she at the same time teaches the divine will. And in this particular letter, you see that she mentions that our Lord Jesus uses everything, all the materials, and she mentions light. She says now of obscurity, now of isolation, in which you feel your soul being lonely. So all of this, it kind resounds with The teachings of Saint Paul, Romans 8:28. We know that in everything God works for the good for those who love Him, right? And the purpose for all of this is sometimes is to purify us, sometimes is to sanctify us, to make us ready for the gift and to be able to receive the gift that the Lord Jesus wants to give us. We know that suffering, pain, all of this, even death, enter into the world because of that separation, that disruption. We know that, as Luisa Picaretta mentions at the end, that in the supreme fiat, everything is peace, everything is harmony, everything is fortitude, because this is what the divine will really is. I think in this last lines of this letter, we find the central teaching of Luisa Picaretta about the kingdom of the divine will. That in the kingdom of the divine will, or the divine will, is all of this, is perfect balance, perfect harmony. And we also find this even in the teaching of the church that acknowledges this through the catechism in 376 and 377, the church acknowledges that in that state of grace in which Adam was created, all the dimensions of him were confirmed in that union with God. So there was harmony, peace between the two of them, Adam and Eve, harmony within himself, that he experienced, that Adam experienced. And then harmony with God and with creation. So this is something that resounds with the teachings of the church, and this is something that Luisa Picaretta is teaching also. So I think when we read these letters, we have to find the central point of what is Luisa Picaretta teaching about the kingdom of divine will. She addresses the circumstances and everything that the people are going through, but for us, I guess the central point is really to look at the teaching. And what is the teaching here? That this is the kingdom of divine will, is peace, is harmony, is fortitude, and that in which the divine will and the human will, they are together, one in hand, one in one. There are many places in the Book of Heaven in which our Lord talks about peace. And peace is basically the fruit. It comes as the fruit of that union with God's will. There is a passage that I want to go. It's in Volume 11, September 20, 1913, in which the Lord talks a little bit about peace. It's a little passage. Short passage, but this is what the Lord says in that volume 11, September 20th, 1913. It says, "My daughter, everything that happens around and inside the soul, bitterness, pleasure, contrast, death, privations, contentments, and other things, is nothing other than is nothing other than my continuous crafting, so that my will may be fulfilled and carried out in her, in the soul." So this is what the Lord tells us, that all these circumstances is he's using all these circumstances as a way to craft the gift of the divine will in us, to give us the will, to prepare us to embrace this will. Now we have the option to say, "Yes, I abandon myself. I suffer this with your will. I give you my pain, my suffering, my circumstances, everything that I'm going through. I abandon myself in your will. Basically, do with me whatever you want, and may this, all the acts that I do, as well as the suffering circumstances, be for the praise and glory of your name." Or we can reject them, and then we basically waste everything. We don't receive any merit. But if we embrace this and in union with His will, we ask our Lord to take this basically as our prayer, then it acquires a different meaning. And the Lord says, I use all these circumstances to craft basically my will in you so that my will be fulfilled. Exactly what St. Paul says, that everything works for the good of those who love the Lord. This is what Luisa Picaretta basically is teaching also, like in all circumstances, let the divine will operate in you. Know that the Lord is using all these circumstances for your good. Then it says, nothing other than my continuous crafting so that my will may be fulfilled and carried out in her, meaning in the soul. When I obtain this, all is done, he says, and therefore everything gives the soul peace. So peace again comes as a fruit of possessing that will. We also know that peace is one of the fruits, one of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. So you all know the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, and this is one of them. And the Lord presents this peace as a fruit, basically as a consequence of having His will operating in us. In the Gospel of John, when the Lord appears after the resurrection to the disciples, and He says, peace be with you. And then He says again, peace be with you. And then He says, whose sins receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. So this particular portion of the Holy Spirit given to the apostles is for the forgiveness of sins, which is what the church uses as a base to teach that the sacrament of confession is really instituted by Christ. We know that all the sacraments are instituted by Christ. And here, the sacrament of confession, peace is also one of the fruits of the sacrament of confession, to know that you are at peace with God, that God has forgiven all your sins, and that He is embracing you back. Know your sins, that your sins are forgiven, and then the peace that comes, knowing that we are forgiven. So that's something to have in mind too, also for us, that it is important for us to have a sacramental life in order for us to be able to live in this gift, to ask the Lord to give us the gift of operating in His will. And that's one way we can prepare our souls. Then the Lord continues and He says, it seems that even suffering wants to stay away from her. Once you are united in this will, it says, even suffering wants to stay away from the soul. In saying that the divine volition is greater than it is, greater than suffering, of course, the divine will is greater than suffering itself, and that it holds in her the place of everything, surpassing everything. The gift of the divine will surpasses all the gifts because it's the gift that contains all the gifts, is the fountain of all the gifts, of everything that is and exists. It seems that all pay reverence to her. And I myself, when the soul reaches this point of using everything in order to let me accomplish the crafting of my will. This is very important. When the soul uses everything in order for our Lord to complete His will in us, to give us that gift, then He says, once this is done, and I prepare her for heaven. So, as I was saying, two important things that we have here in this letter. One is that our Lord uses everything, all our circumstances can be used to give praise, glory, and adoration to God, and for us to be purified and be ready to receive this gift, and the others that the teaching that she is giving about what the divine will is, that is peace, harmony, is fortitude, is everything, because it's the gift that contains everything, and that's what God wants us to possess, is the initial plan that God had for the creature possessing that gift. Whenever we read about Adam in the state of grace, we always read that there was peace, there was harmony, that there was complete union with God, that there was no suffering, no pain, that basically he didn't have anything to worry about. He was meant to live only in that union of God's will and always growing and growing and growing. That disruption, that disharmony came as a consequence of departing from that union. So we have to keep that in mind, that peace is a consequence or a fruit of having the will of God operating in us. Let's continue with the next letter that we can read.
Okay. Number 55, to a religious. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Amen, Fiat, Involuntae Dei. My good and reverend mother, Reverend Father P had me read your letter addressed to him and asked me to write you a few words to cheer you up. But what should I say? My usual refrain, let us dissolve ourselves in the divine fiat. And in it we will find strength and light, which investing our tongue will make those who listen to us speechless, and in feeling the strength of the truth in it, they will bend and listen to you, putting an end to a storm which has been lasting for so long. My mother, you shouldn't be concerned about such moodiness, nor give it too much importance. Poor one, what weakness! He changes at every sound that reaches his ear. While being in Rome, he was with you. Going to Messina, he is with them. But he will easily change once again, and if he doesn't, our Lord will use different ways. Therefore, never lose peace in these circumstances, because the storm will be over everything and will be over. Everything ends down here, but peace does not end. Rather, it is the carriage which brings us to heaven and remains with us as the heritage of the children of the Celestial Father. More so, since peace is the bell that rings continuously, calling the life of the divine fiat into ourselves. I like very much the three pieces of advice of Father DaCosta. Be careful to put them into practice. Who knows what our Lord will dispose? Therefore, let us pray, hope, and abandon everything in the divine volition. I commend myself very much to your prayers, and leaving you in the divine volition, I kiss your right hand and say, your most devoted servant, Luisa Picaretta, Corrado, February 9th, 1929. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Again, we see the spiritual advice of Luisa giving the spiritual advice to this religious. And she says, let us dissolve ourselves in the divine fiat. This is what we are called to do every day, every morning, as we do our prevenient act, basically to just dissolve our will into the will of God, and having that awareness that we want our Lord Jesus to operate in us at every moment, but even during the day, to have that constant awareness of the presence of the divine will operating in me. So then there is no loneliness anymore. That we know that Jesus is with us. We are not alone anymore. If we can have that constant awareness of the presence of the divine will operating in us as we work, as we study, as we eat, as we sleep, everything, then it will really make a difference in us. And you see that Luisa Picaretta mentions again that peace, never lose peace in circumstances, because the storm will be over everything. Ends down here, but peace does not end. He says, peace, rather, it is the carriage which brings us to he into heaven and remains as our inheritance. So there is a passage in Volume 1. As we know, Volume 1 doesn't have dates. So I just found a passage in the book in which the Lord talks again about peace, and it says, you were wrong in being so disturbed. Don't you know that I am spirit of peace? We know God is spirit in the second person, I mean in the person of our Lord Jesus. We see the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the incarnated Word of God, but we know that God is pure spirit. So he says, don't you know that I am spirit of peace? And the first thing I recommend is that you do not disturb the peace of the heart. When in prayer you are not able to recollect yourself, I don't want you to think of this or that, or how it is or how it is not, because in doing so you yourself call the distraction. Instead, when you find yourself in that state, the first thing to do is to humble yourself, confessing that you deserve those pains and placing yourself in the arms of the ex in the arms of the executor, like a humble little lamb that licks the hand while he is being killed. To live in the divine will really requires a different attitude. As we see through these letters, we see circumstances, we see even the human interaction, how the human will changes with circumstances and all of that. And what we are seeing here in this passage that I just read, our Lord Jesus talks about peace, but peace in the sense like disturbance, what happens when you are praying and you don't find that peace? But also at the end, it says, when you find yourself in this state of not having peace, the first thing to do, so we can, our Lord Jesus is explaining this, taking the context of one who doesn't find peace in prayer. But we can apply this concept in all our circumstances that we go through in life, in any circumstance in life. So we can say, as our Lord, instead, when you find yourself in that state, the first thing to do is to humble yourself. So whenever we go through pain, to suffering, to circumstances that are not really the best thing for us, or we don't feel like it's the best thing for us, instead of turning against God, we can say, we can take this attitude that our Lord Jesus is recommended. Instead, when you find yourself in that state, the first thing to do is to humble yourself, to humble ourselves, confessing that you deserve these pains. When I say that this requires a different attitude, is really that. Yes, I deserve this because of my sins. It was not you, Lord, who deserved to be crucified. It was me who deserved to be crucified. But I offer this circumstance that I go through. I offer my pain, my suffering, my illnesses, whatever, even my own acts. as a way of reparation. This is what the Lord says. Just see yourself like that little lamb who is about to be slaughtered and still is licking the hand of the one who is going to kill or sacrifice it. It's exactly what our Lord Jesus did when he took the cross. He humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, St. Paul tells us. So it really requires a different attitude. And when peace, again, if we want to experience peace in the highest sense, in the spiritual sense, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that comes from being in union with God. Knowing that in all circumstances, everything will be for our good. Everything will be forgiven. Praise, glory, honor, and adoration to God the Father. And when Luisa Picaretta at the end says, therefore, pray, hope, and abandon everything in the divine volition. I think this is one of the, it's close to one of the famous phrases of Padre Pio. Pray, hope, and
Don't worry.
don't worry. Here we go beyond. Pray, hope, and abandon yourself in the will of God. This is something that we can't practice in our daily life. Just abandon yourself in the will of God. Jesus, I abandon myself in you. As you receive communion, Jesus, I abandon myself in you. As you begin your day, Jesus, I abandon myself in you. And that's the way. Again, there are many places in which our Lord talks about this, this way of now entrusting ourselves to divine will. There is one passage, I don't remember it now, where is it, but he gives the example also that there are some souls that they are like inflated balloons, that they are not constant. That one day they feel like they can do all the sacrifices and give their life for God. The next day they feel like doing nothing. So when Luisa Picaretta says that we have to be always to remain in that peace. It's also like that we have to be in that spiritual way, that we have to be firm, constancy all the time, consistency in the spiritual life if we want to grow the spiritual life in order for the spiritual life to grow in us, in order for us to advance. We have to have constancy every day, even if we don't feel like. Because when we do things, when it's easy for us and we feel like, we don't get much merit. But when we don't feel like and we're still doing it, trusting and having faith, then the more merit for us. This is exactly also what happens when we enter into the realm of living in the divine will, because we don't see how our soul grows, we don't see how our soul is being filled with light, and all of this, we don't see the expansion of our soul, but we know that God is acting in us and that He uses all the circumstances, even the smallest, tiny single act, when united to the will of God, can give much praise, glory, honor, and adoration to God for everything. So, there is one passage in volume 6 that I like to go is volume 6, August 9, 1905. And our Lord says the following there. Let me find it. August 6. Excuse me, volume 6, August 9. This is what the Lord says. It says, the title is Effects of Peace and of Disturbances. Luisa Picaretta writes, continuing in my usual state, I was feeling a little disturbed. And blessed Jesus, on coming, told me, my daughter, the soul who is at peace and whose whole being tends completely into me drips with drops of light which fall upon my garment and form my ornament. It's a beautiful image that the soul who is at peace basically drips drops of light. Again, we don't see this, but the Lord is telling us, and He's telling us that this happens, we must believe it. On the other hand, the soul who is disturbed drips with darkness, the opposite, which forms the diabolical ornament. Not only this, but disturbance impedes the course of grace and renders it unable to do good. We know that the opposite of light is darkness, and we know that God is light and the enemy is darkness. Then he added, if the soul becomes disturbed over everything, it is a sign that she is full of herself, full of human will. If she becomes disturbed with something that happens to her, but does not with something else, it is a sign that she has something of God. But there are many voids to be filled. Still, you can say he's walking in the right way, but is not there yet. If then nothing disturbs her, it is a sign that she's all filled with God. Oh, how much harm disturbance does to the soul, to the point of rejecting God and of filling her completely with hers. So we want to be filled with God. We don't want to be filled with ourselves. We don't want to be filled with our human will. And our Lord Jesus is giving us in this passage some kind of advice and is pointing us the way that we must walk. Now, we know that we are in the human flesh. We are in this sight of living in the human flesh and in the world, but we still worry. But one thing is to worry, and then one thing is to let that worry take away our peace. We are not talking about being insensitive, not feeling the pain of others and the circumstances of others, to have empathy and sympathy with others. We are not saying don't feel empathy and don't have sympathy for others. No. It's that don't let those circumstances take away your trust in God. And from that trust, that peace, knowing that even in those difficult circumstances, even in that pain, in that suffering, even when you do your acts and you don't feel like he is there, he still is there. He's operating. He is always with us. And that's the challenge. We are not in heaven yet, because in heaven we will not need faith. We will not need hope. In heaven we will only need love. To love God. But while we are here, the more acts we do In union with God, the more we trust, especially when we encounter these disturbances, and we remain faithful and we remain in the will of God firm, then the more capacity for joy we acquire, the more capacity for love and for a relationship with God we will acquire in heaven. So that's where we have to really believe that what we read here is really from our Lord Jesus, and that these are not the words of Luisa Picarreta when we read the Book of Heaven. Now that we are reading the letters, yeah, these are the words of Luisa Picarreta. And even in these writings, we see she says, pray, hope, and abandon yourself in the divine will. Just have that peace, that abandon yourself in that ocean of the divine will, in that ocean of peace, of light, and offer that circumstance for your own salvation, for the salvation of the whole world, for now on, as we know the divine will, we have to offer everything for everybody. It's not only for me anymore, but we want to love God as if everybody were loving Him, that we may become channels of grace through which God receives all the love, all the grace, all the praise, adoration, as if everybody were giving it to Him. And now, not only that, but taking everything that God is, it comes to mind that we can say, united in your will and with your will, I want to place my I love you in that attribute of you who is eternal and perfect peace. And I want to praise you, to adore you, to glorify you with your own peace. I want to offer your own joy, your own love, your own beauty, your own majesty, your own light, everything that you are, your own immensity. So I worship, I praise you with everything that you are. And I ask you for that gift of peace for myself and for the whole human race. So now all these new prayers, in a way, that we are learning also as we continue to read the Book of Heaven, and we read the writings of Luisa Picaretta. How do we pray now? Well, we look at the attributes of God, right? We look at the simplicity of God. We look that God is perfect happiness, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect purity, everything that He is. So we love Him with everything that He is, with Himself, basically. Loving God with Himself, with everything that He is. Then I just become the instrument through which He's able to receive His own love, that He's loving Himself through me. How? Because now I become the occasion to say, I love you with your own light. I worship you with your own majesty. I praise you with your own greatness, with your own beauty, with your own will. And in that, I give you my will as a tiny, tiny, tiny offering. And I ask you for that gift of peace. I ask you for the gift of joy. I ask you for the gift of your will to operate in me. So it's as we read the Book of Heaven and we read Luisa, we learn how to pray in a different way, in a perfect way now, because it is the will of God operating in us. And what a better way to pray than to offer God Himself, everything that He is. And we can do this also with creation, with the works of redemption and sanctification, and asking Our Lord to grant us that grace, that gift of His will to operate in us. So remember, constancy is something that the Lord wants us to have, to be constant in our prayer, constant in our reading, meditating these truths that come from the Book of Heaven and from the teachings of Luisa de Carreta, so that we may advance in the spiritual life. What does it mean to advance in the spiritual life? Meaning to acquire, basically to acquire a new capacity to have a deeper relationship with God in heaven for all eternity. Because our relationship with God will be limited according to our capacity. In meditating upon these letters, it came to mind a very mundane example, but maybe it can illustrate this. The more we come to know God on this side while we are on earth, the more we will be able to understand Him and to have a better relationship with Him in heaven. It's like, for example, if you are a doctor and you have all this terminology and all this language that you use, it will be easier for you to communicate and to talk with another doctor than to talk to a farmer. Yes, there is a different capacity there. If I am a farmer and I talk to a farmer, we will understand each other very well. If you are an engineer and you talk to another engineer, it will be very easy for you to understand each other. But if an engineer is talking with a janitor, there's a different language, different concepts, different levels. And I'm not putting down any of the traces here, any of the these professions. I'm just giving an example. So it's the same with God. The more we come to know about God, the more we come to know about this divine science and this truths that come from the teaching of Luisa Picaretta in the Book of Heaven, the more capacity we will have to enter into a deeper relationship with Him in heaven and to know more about Him and for Him to unleash everything that He is, all those attributes and everything that He is, to unleash that in our souls, because we will have that capacity. So constancy is part of that process for us to grow in the spiritual life. So know that what it means to grow in the spiritual life, to have to acquire that capacity to understand God. Let's go to the next letter before we go today. 56.
To a young lady, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Amen, Fiat, in Volonté Dei. Most esteemed one in the Lord, may the holy divine will be always blessed, which disposes everything for our good. The storm is always prelude to clear skies. Therefore, don't lose heart. Wait with untiring patience for the hour of God. When it comes, its dominion will put everything into place, and maybe your very enemies will become your friends. Therefore, courage, do not neglect anything. Give example of a firm character, always the same with yourself. Don't let the devil laugh, because if you are not firm and always the same, the enemy will say to you, you wanted to do good to others, and you were unable to do it yourself. My daughter, you must know that a piece of iron sparks under the blows. It becomes softer and disposed to form the shape the craftsman wants to give it. So does our Lord, divine architect. He strikes the iron of our soul in order to remove the rust, to soften us, and give us the shape of the object he wants to make of us. And the light with which we spark under his blows serves to dispose us to his great designs. Therefore, from the storms you must draw light, courage, and peace. Never be disturbed, because disturbance is the true hail of the soul, destroyer of the true goods. I commend myself to your prayers, and leaving you in the light of the divine fiat, I say, your most devoted servant, Louisa Picaretta, Corrado, February 11th, 1929. I will ask the little orphans to pray. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So again, this theme of being constant, constancy, to always be the same with yourself. We know that God is the same. That's one of the, we can say, characteristics of attributes of God, that God doesn't change. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He is always the same. He's the divine architect. He strikes the iron of our soul, right, in order to remove the rust, to soften us and to give us the shape of the object he wants to make of us. What's the object that he wants to make of us? He wants to make another of himself, another himself, another Jesus. So we must be aware of this, that he wants another Jesus. He wants to see himself in us, just like the Father sees himself in the Son and the Son in the Father. He wants to be able to see himself in us. To live in the divine will is not to be like Jesus. This is the big difference. We can say to do God's will is to be like Jesus. To do God's will is to be like Jesus. But to live in the divine will is to be Jesus. So we are called not to be like Jesus only, but to be Jesus. And this is what it means to live in the divine will also, to be another Jesus. And this is the object that he wants to make of us. We have to be another Jesus. And he says constancy is very important for us. There is a passage in the Book of Heaven, is volume 12, September 18, 1917, in which the Lord talks about constancy, and this is what he says: "My daughter, patience, constancy in good places, everything in safety." He's saying that constancy is what safeguards every good thing in us, everything that we do that is good, is that constancy that makes it grow in us. Even more, I tell you that when you deprive of me, fight between life and death for the pain of being without your Jesus, and in spite of this, you remain constant in good and you neglect nothing, you do nothing other than squeeze yourself. In squeezing love of self, natural satisfaction come out. Your natural remains as though undone. And what is left is a juice so pure and sweet, which I take with so much delight that I am sweetened, and I look at you with so much love and tenderness to feel your pains as if they were my own. In the same way, if you are called right and the like, and you remain constant, you give me as many more squeezes to yourself. You give as many more squeezes to yourself, and you form more juice for my embittered heart. The same for the soul in coldness, in aridities. She throws natural satisfactions to the ground. She empties herself of herself, and through constancy she squeezes herself. and the soul remains with the pure fruit of good, and so on. So you see the merit basically that constancy brings, that the Lord says, even when you don't feel me, you know, Luce Begareta, she had that gift, that in being able to feel the presence of our Lord Jesus, to have the gift of bilocation, I mean, of locution, to be able to hear the voice of our Lord Jesus in her heart, and all of this, to experience that mystical presence. And then when our Lord is not there, she complains. But our Lord says, you must be constant even when you don't feel me. You don't feel like I am there because I'm still there, even though you are not able to feel with your senses. This concept of constancy, we have also to have it in mind in order for us to grow in the spiritual life. Because again, we can be like those inflated balloons, that when we experience the presence, the joy, when everything goes well, we are happy, and then we feel we can do all kinds of sacrifices. And when suffering and difficulties and different circumstances come, then we tend to forget. So we have to be constant in our doing, in doing our acts, in offering our will to the Lord, in inviting the divine will to operate in us, in uniting ourselves with the Lord, but also what is important, to go always around corresponding God for everything He has done for us in the works of creation, redemption, and sanctification, and to correspond with His own love, with everything that He is. We has become channels of basically grace, so that he can pour all the graces through us and channels through which he's able to receive all that he had to receive from the human race. There is, before we go today, there is another passage in volume 12, February 17, 1980, 18, in which our Lord talks about this theme also. February 12, excuse me, volume 12, February 17. February 7, let me find this place. Okay, February 17, 1918. Let me see, that's the one I wanted. No, excuse me. Okay, yeah, that's the volume that I wanted. It says, I was feeling a little distracted and putting myself into the will of God. I was asking forgiveness for my distraction, and Jesus told me, my daughter, the sun with its heat destroys the miasma, the infectious part of manure, when it is spread in the soil to fecundate the plants. Otherwise, they will rot and will end up withering. Now, the heat of my will, as soon as the soul enters into it, destroys the infection, the defects which the soul has contracted in her distraction. Therefore, as soon as you feel the distraction, do not remain within yourself, but then enter immediately into my will, so that my heat may purify you and prevent prevented from making you wither. And then the next one is to be firmness. He says, continuing in my usual state, I was lamenting to Jesus about my poor state, and he told me, my daughter, courage, do not move in anything. Firmness is the greatest virtue. Firmness produces heroism. It is almost impossible that one not be a great saint. Even more, as she keeps repeating her acts, she forms two bars, one to the right and the other to the left, which serve her as support and defense. As she reiterates her acts, a fount forms within her, a new and increasing love. And then he says, firmness strengthens grace and places on it the seal of final perseverance. Your Jesus does not fear that his graces may remain without effects, and therefore I pour them in torrents over the constant soul. Constancy forms a soul who today operates and tomorrow does not, who now does one good, now another. There is not much to expect. She will not have any support and will be bounced now to one point, now to another. She will die of hunger because she will not have the fount of firmness, which makes love arise. Grace fears to pour itself because she will abuse it and will use it to offend me. So we see that constancy is important. This is what the Lord says. And basically, in this letter that we read, the last one, this is what Luisa Picaretta is advising, that's her spiritual advice, to be always the same with yourself. Do not let the devil laugh, she says. Because if you are not firm and always the same in the spiritual life advancing, the enemy will say to you, you wanted to do good to others and you were unable to do it yourself. This can happen to us. We want others to know the divine will and the gift, but if we don't remain constant, then this life will not grow in us. The gift will not grow in us. So we are called to grow in this way of life by constancy. So let us ask the Lord Jesus to give us the grace to have that constancy in our spiritual life, especially asking for the gift to operate in us, to always have time to read, to meditate upon these writings, and may everything be for the praise and glory of God, for the salvation of our soul, for the good of all the church. And we finish today with this prayer, asking the Lord Jesus to grant us the grace to be always united to His will. Through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.